Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Eric Wetterling, founder and editor of The Hedgeless Horseman. Now, Eric, we're going to talk about precious metals, and anyone who's following the precious metals sector is seeing this another kind of washout sell-off today. Gold down about $40, silver down over a dollar. Still haven't, I guess, fully broken down when you consider now, I guess, we need to look for gold down to $16.75 and silver right around that $22 level. But with the correction in the metals price, we're also seeing the stocks move down. Looking at GDX, that's down 4.5%. GDXJ also down about that same level. Look, Eric, everything just got cheaper. So what's your takeaway from this sell-off?
I did an article a few days ago that was called Past the Point of No Return. It's like the whole sector, especially the junior sector, which I'm focused on. I mean, it's the cheapest relative to price of gold and silver that it's been since I began investing, at least. I mean, in 2015-16, sure, in absolute terms, the juniors were even cheaper. But at that point in time, gold was trading. It went down to 1,050. Silver went down to, I don't know, $14 or something. I mean, the business itself didn't make any money. Companies were nearing bankruptcies. No projects really made sense. So at face value at that point in time, the gold business was an unprofitable business. And what's the value of an unprofitable business? That's zero, pretty much. And some companies came close to being valued at zero, and some traded at negative enterprise values. Right now, the gold sector is spitting out pretty much record cash. And the gold price is still very high, $1,750. That's $700 higher than the 2015-2016 bottom. And still I see enterprise values in juniors closing in on zero. And some are pretty advanced and are closing into very low multiples, you know, dollar per ounce. So, I mean, this is the most no-brainer value investor I've ever seen, at least since I began. I mean, it was hard buying in 2015-16. Because no project was worth anything on paper. Right now, many, many projects make sense, and many projects are worth several hundred millions of dollars at face value, and they're selling for, you know, enterprise values of, like, I don't know, 30 million. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that, okay, this sector is extremely cheap. It's just gotten cheaper today, and the miners have no business going down as much as they do, even though gold price is down today. I mean, if they're already pricing in a $1,300 gold environment, and gold goes down to, what, it's $1,650 or $1,750, I don't keep track lately, but that's still, they should be up. They should be up 30%, most of them, because
They're all down here. I need to come back at this one just because they are all down. And I've heard this argument that the majors are pricing in whatever, $1,400, $1,300, $1,200 gold, but they're not, because the market is dictating price. And as metals move down, the miners are also moving down. And hey, trust me, I've seen environments, I've been through an environment where market caps can drop into the single digit millions because there's no interest out there. So as much as we want to say stocks are cheap, market still dictates price, and market's still telling us these things could go down. Who knows how much lower from here, but there could be another washout. We could see companies go away, essentially, in this sector.
Yeah, but at the same time, that's like the prerequisite to have outsized future returns. You're talking about an irrational market where price dislocates from value. I mean, that's what we're after, isn't it? We're looking for an environment like this, which doesn't make sense. And to me, risk is not that something can't go lower. I mean, if I were to invest in a stock I thought was, you know, risk-free from the point of it can't go any lower, then I would never buy a stock. All I know right now is, like you just said, it's irrationally cheap. They have underperformed immensely, hence it being irrationally cheap. That's all I need to know. That's why I bought in the bottom of 2015, 2016. I thought that was the bottom. They went down 50% more, but I wasn't leveraged. I had time and I had patience. And then they went up 500%. I mean, that's my only job is to buy something that is undervalued. And for me to do that and have outsized future returns, I must see an environment like this where price and value dislocates as much as possible. And if this keeps on dislocating. If we go down 50% more, I'm not selling a single share unless I find a better opportunity. I'm a buyer. This is in my opinion, we're past the point of no return from a valuation standpoint. This is already ridiculous. It can get even more ridiculous because we see other parts of the overall markets that are ridiculous, but on the opposite way, let's say. So, I mean, to me, this is like, I don't break a sweat. I could be down 50% tomorrow. That doesn't mean that my portfolio won't go up 500% within 3 years, for example, because these levels of valuations have no business staying here forever. They won't stay here forever. It always changes. It has changed since the dawn of time, basically, that stuff goes from undervalued to overvalued. We're simply in a very undervalued scenario. And all I can do is buy as much as I can when it's as cheap as possible relative to the value. Then I just sit on my hands, wait until buyers can't come back and the sector goes from extremely undervalued to potentially extremely overvalued. And then I will sell. It might take 1, 2, 3, 4 years. I don't know. But any purchase I'm doing right now, on average, I expect like a 300% return in 2 years. And that's not bad.
Well, Eric, let me ask you this, because there's no doubt that there has been technical damage to the metals to some degree, and there's definitely technical damage to the mining stocks if you're just looking at it from the lens of price action only. And to Corey's point, you know, the price has been going lower, and it could keep going lower if silver breaks down below 22 and heads to 1850, as one of our analysts had just mentioned the other day, or if gold breaks below 1675 and goes down to that 1620 or 1550, sure, things will actually get cheaper. But to your point, you're looking at the risk-reward setup and saying, hey, if you liked it at higher levels and it goes down even more, let's say that a stock sells down by 20 or 30% more, if you believe in the thesis that the bull market is still not damaged for good, that it's still going to go up longer term, you're looking at the risk-reward scenario of it going up a 3-bagger, 4-bagger, 5-bagger over a year or two. Do you think that it is important to exercise caution here, though, for investors that maybe looking to get in, or maybe they're down 30%, you know, do you think it's important to at least manage risk to the downside as well as taking on the opportunity?
I mean, depending on your time horizon, if you need the money tomorrow or within a year or 2 years, yeah, sure. I mean, if you can't afford to lose it, you know, on paper within a certain period of time, don't invest the money. I mean, that's as simple as it gets. Otherwise than that, I mean, if I expect, let's say, 200% return within 2 years on any purchase, why should I be fearing that the price could go lower? That just means that I will still get the 200% of the purchase today. But if it goes down, sure, I might, you know, get 600% going forward. But the 200% return is pretty good. And if all I have to pay is, you know, stomach a 50% decline, that's not typically something most people, you know, can stomach, but that's also a reason why 95% of people will never beat an index in the long term, because they can't keep their emotions in check. I mean, I don't care if some of these prices go down. I care about the cases. I mean, we've seen today, for example, unions release good results and the sentiment is so poor that they sell off. Okay, is that an opportunity or not? I mean, do you believe the market that, yeah, this junior, let's say the implied value of the junior hiked up by 30% and it's down 10%. That's an opportunity to me, because that's not priced in today, obviously. Will it be priced in sometime when, you know, even a whiff of VG, I mean, in a good market, even a whiff of VG in core could see some companies up 30 million. Will we come to that point sometime for the end of the world? Yes, I think so. Probably within a few years. So if I can buy banked success without taking risks on the cheap, even though the implied value of the company went up, how can I be complaining? And you know, I won't buy that. It's down 10%. It could go lower, but the implied value got hiked up by 30%. What am I waiting for? You know, someone to just come with a forklift and just hand me cash. I mean,
well, let me just jump in here, Eric, and ask you, like, what you could be waiting for. And, like, hey, I'm with you. I bought a dozen mining stocks today, especially the silver ones, because they're so pummeled. But I didn't buy all in. I bought just a tranche, and I saved some back, because if it's going to go down 20 or 30 or 40% lower, you would be better served to wait for that and buy it lower would be the counter argument. You know, if we see gold and silver break their technical support levels, then there will be a sentiment wash in the sector. And so if a stock's going to go down, let's just say 20%, not the end of the world, wouldn't it be better to wait for it to go down 20% to buy it? Or the other thought is, you know, some people want to see, you know, more of a confirmation that it's turned back up, that, hey, we're really back up in the uptrend now. So what would you say to that line of thinking?
Well, I mean, those bring up some good points. I mean, risk reward is absolute based on what we're seeing right now. I mean, I don't factor in, let's say, a lot of, you know, technicals, etc. I mean, value investing is, what's the price of gold and silver right now? What is the fundamentals of the company and what's the price? That's all you need to know, basically. That's all the ingredients in being a value investor. You don't need anything else than that. But at the same time, what you're talking about, yes, from a psychological standpoint, it will suck pretty hard if, you know, okay, I'm going all in now, and tomorrow they are down 50%, then it stays down 50% for 2 years, then it goes up 500%. Almost nobody's going to, you know, be able to stomach that, to see your portfolio get cut in half for 2 years, even though rationally it makes no sense that the valuations would be kept down there, and 2 years later they go up 500%. So from like protecting yourself from yourself, yes, I do think it's pretty good to just, let's say, buy in tranches. I mean, the most important thing is obviously not to be selling out when the expected return going forward is very good, which I think it is now. But that will also, I mean, even if you buy now and you have conviction, etc., let's say we get cut by 30%. If you lose your conviction and sell out, and then you buy back 60% higher when you're, you know, comfortable again, the long-term damage to your returns will be, you know, catastrophic if you keep on doing that. But at the same time, if you do stuff that at least keeps you from making mistakes like that, then that's why I think I'm more diversified than ever, for example. I mean, if that makes it easier to actually hold out and not make any rash decisions because you fear that some, you know, greater fool is going to sell the company for even cheaper than where it already is brain dead cheap. Yes, I mean, to have some techniques like that, I think it's good. And that's why it's so important to know your own strengths and weaknesses. I know I'm very good at buying cheap. I can stomach deep corrections. I've done it many times before. I'm very bad at selling. So I don't try to pick tops, but I'm very good at buying bottoms. So, I mean, in the long run, so far, it's turned out quite well just to be buying when everybody screams sell and the short looks horrible. I just stick to my value investing principle and have also learned that, okay, I should be more diversified than I was when I started out, because it was very uncomfortable to be extremely concentrated and see one single stock go down because you get so emotionally tied to it.
Eric, I like that comment that you're good at buying cheap. The problem is stuff has gotten cheaper too. So get in there, start buying. Final comment here. Look, you clearly have that longer term bullish outlook for the sector. I understand why. I understand the arguments behind being long term bullish here. But if we do enter a bear market, and even a market where there just is no sentiment, we can continue to see, especially these exploration companies, continue to drift because they're not bringing in money. They are simply slowly burning their cash. What would it take for you to change your general outlook into maybe a more bearish outlook for gold? What would you have to see that would make you think that, you know what, maybe these stocks won't bounce back in the next year or two?
That's a good question. I don't really know. I mean, I only know that if some of these juniors were to go down, like, let's say 30%, I mean, some would be trading at negative enterprise values. And in that case, in order for me not to buy it, it would mean that I would be like pretty sure that the world was going to end. And since I don't see myself, you know, reaching such a...
I thought gold bugs want the world to end. I thought that would be good for gold.
No, no, I don't actually want the world to end. But that's the thing. It's like, we don't really need... I mean, if you're a stock picker and you go for value and alpha, etc., I mean, the gold price could stay flat and you would still expect to, you know, have some outperformance, let's say. But it, of course, it means that we need to see buyers. I mean, that's what it comes down to. For some reason, nobody's interested at all in taking risk in juniors. So they're willing to basically sell it at any price. And like often happens, the lower something goes, the discussion will turn to the risks, even though the risks are already priced in. And that's on that point, I think it's, you know, probably hurting a lot of people to visit forums, etc., too often, and Twitter or whatever during sentiment extremes. Because again, it's like 100% of people probably will have opinions. 95% of people will probably have worthless opinions because they, you know, if they look at their track record, they would, you know, notice that they haven't really beat the index over the long term. So everyone gets bombarded by noise, short-term noise. Some TA trader thinks the gold is going to shoot to the skies, and other one says that it's going to 1,000. And we see this daily volatility in gold. I mean, one day it's up 1%. It's like, okay, the bull is on, and today we're crashing. I mean, how are you going to make a, you know, let's say, rational case for a stock if you're bombarded by any day gold goes up, people scream buy. Every day gold goes down, people scream sell. It's a, I don't even look at gold and silver right now. And I mean, I didn't perhaps answer your question, but I can't see how I would turn bearish, because if gold and silver goes down, given the level that the juniors are already starting at, if they go down to minus 30 from here, some of them, I mean, for the first time ever, I might, you know, take on leverage, because then I would expect 1,000% within X amount of years. So again, I'm past the point of no return. And right now they're cheap. And sure, the worst thing would be that they would stay cheap and we would have constant dilution, etc. But if you try to be a stock picker and pick the ones that actually have pretty good ROI on their dollars, I mean, if you make a discovery or you have a good ROI on your drilling, etc., that's gonna outpace the dilution, in my opinion. And at the end of the day, when said bull comes, if a company has, you know, increased its intrinsic value by 600%, even though dilution has taken it down by, I don't know, 60% or whatever, that's still gonna revalue quite a bit when sentiment returns.
All right, Eric, we're gonna wrap it up here. Sure wish there was some better news to talk about for the mining sector, but you know what? I guess stuff is cheap, right? So if you want to be in there, if you do have some cash on the sidelines, then hey, you can be deploying it now, especially in some of these miners, the miners and the majors. It's quite shocking just how much they're selling off today as well. Eric, thanks as always for your time, buddy. I'll post a link to your website below, and we'll chat again probably next week. Have a great rest of your week there, buddy.
Thanks, guys. The same.